This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
This podcast addresses various mental health challenges, including topics such as suicide, addiction, eating disorders, depression, and anxiety. These discussions may be triggering for some individuals. If you or someone you know is struggling, please seek support from a mental health professional or a trusted individual in your life. Remember, you are not alone and help is available. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to another episode of Mind Your Head. This week, it's a bit of a round two from last week. I've got Simon Kay joining me.
Step up to the ring, Simon Kay.
And we have Sophie Wilson also joining us today.
Hello, it's me.
We have a special, very special episode where we talk about
nuances in society, I would say.
Good way to put it.
Yeah, we go more in depth of what, you know, we were supposed to do last time.
We talk about femininity and masculinity in society and in also relationships.
We talk about the unequal pay in women and men's sports.
And we go pretty deep into the domestic violence topic that is massive at the moment.
You guys would love it.
give it a watch. Trigger warning.
There is a trigger warning. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it. Welcome back to Mind Your Head, Simo. This is pretty much a round two from last week. However, we've got the wonderful Sophie joining us today.
Hello, all.
And the reason that I wanted to get Sophie on is because when me and Simo finished our conversation last week, we were talking about that Andrew Tate and masculinity and femininity, and we were so scared to really...
We were a little bit scared because, it's a touchy subject.
Yeah.
But now there is, the reins are off.
The reins are off, but I didn't realize how much of the vibe or energy we were giving off to Sophie and how obvious it was for her that we were like too hesitant or too scared to actually like say how we really feel.
Exactly.
Because there was another woman in the room.
Exactly.
And like if I wasn't here, what you would have said, or you probably would have said the same thing, but how you would have put it out there would have been a lot more confident.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah, 100%.
I think so.
I would have been way more comfortable
with
just me and Simo in here.
So I'm going to just start off. I rate him. Yeah. I like Andrew Tate. Okay.
Everything?
Mostly everything.
Mostly everything. Mostly everything.
A couple of things that I don't know. There's things about... One thing is I can't stand the fact that he preaches religion. Preaches about God and stuff, but then just wants to sleep with all these girls and which is very ungodly. It's very you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you need a pick, man. That's all of a sudden really controversial in how you stand. Like if you're a godly man and, you know,
believe those values,
then you would be looking at women not as items at all. You would be wifed up. You would be wholly giving everything you can to one woman. You would be doing all those things, but you don't want to do those. You still want to sleep around. You still want to party on yachts with all these hookers I don't know if they're hookers, but pretty close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like, let's be real.
But it also depends what religion he's in. Because if you're Muslim, I think you have a couple of wives.
Well, you have a few. Exactly. Yeah. So, well, it depends. Yeah. But I do hear him, preach about it a lot. And that's, I don't know, that kind of throws me off a wee bit.
Yeah.
But everything out, like... almost everything else, like all these people say he's misogynistic. Like being misogynistic is having like hatred towards women. Never once has he said that he doesn't like women. In fact, he loves women. He loves women so much. And all he does is preach protection of women and building men up to a level so that you can protect your ultimate level. Like that's what he preaches. Like I can't see any misogyny. I just can't. Anywhere he said it, like... in anything he said.
I think this would be a great opportunity to have a...
female perspective.
Female perspective.
Yeah, so what I would say is everything that he... I can totally understand why women have an aversion to Andrew Tate because what they see, the small clips online, are offensive at face value. But what I did when I started to see him pop up online and like I was... I'll put my hand up and say I was one of those women who were like, who the fuck is this guy? Like I'm like straight up... what's going on? But my personality is one that sees something that triggers me and leans in. And because there's always something to learn there. So I'm like, what is this guy about? And I ended up going and consuming a couple of long form pieces of content of him speaking. And I was like, that's when I realized, I'm like, when you have the entire context of what this man is actually speaking about, it makes a lot of sense. And I think that and I will say as well as a caveat to everything I'm going to talk about probably on this episode, similar to you, like I don't agree with everything that he says at all. In fact, what bothers me the most is that he talks a lot about how women shouldn't have sexual partners, all of this stuff, however, has a cam girls business.
Mm.
Like that bothers me because it's like, anyone can have an opinion behind closed doors or whatever. We get upset when it's in the public eye. But say he wants to have an opinion on how many sexual partners women should have. Sure, go for it. But then don't have a cam girls business that actively exploits women and, you know, profit from, you know, going against everything that you preach about online.
That double standard.
That double standard, and similar to what your point is about, like, being a godly man. I think that is one thing that bothers me about Andrew Tate. However, I believe that he has so much value to bring, and he's a truth speaker in so many ways, because women say they want, now I'm going to get cancelled. But like I've been a woman who has been of the feminist, you know, belief, and I grew up being programmed that way. And I was programmed to believe I want this life of, you know, pure independence, like power, boss, bitch, let's go. I don't need no man, like, and that served me because I didn't have a man. So I'm like, this is perfect because now I don't have to admit lack in my life. You know, I can just see the personal gain from that programming. Mm. So I have so much empathy and compassion for women who are in the space where they have also been programmed to believe that way. So actively this like guy or anything of this like nature is going to rub up against them and going to trigger them.
Going to be a threat.
It's going to be a threat.
Yeah. So yeah. How's it changed? Has it changed now that you're in a relationship?
No, it didn't change. I think it probably had to change before I got the relationship, to be honest, or the relationship that I have now. This version of a relationship wouldn't exist if I was her.
If you were the same person.
No, it wouldn't. Right. No, not at all. But
do you think that's because you are so focused on yourself and becoming successful that would somewhat put you in a more masculine role? So then you wouldn't kind of, obviously men chase femininity. Do you feel like it kind of shooting yourself in the foot a wee bit?
Well, yeah, I think so. However, I have like the conversation that I've had many times is like, what came first, the chicken or the egg, in terms of am I overly masculine or are men overly feminine and am I overcompensating because I live in a world where the men aren't actually masculine?
Mm.
And I would argue that.
Mm.
And that's why I have a lot of compassion for both myself, my past self, and women living in this world right now.
Mm.
Because it's like, you guys might sit here and be like, well, women are overly, you might, are about to probably say, women are overly masculine, you know, rah, rah, rah. Yeah, but why are they like that? Because the men of society
they haven't
are
met
weak.
They haven't met a man to allow them to go fully in their femininity, right?
Exactly.
So it's both it's negatives both. 100%. coming at each other.
Yeah.
And this conversation that you guys started to talk about in the last episode of toxic masculinity, if I was to give you a definition of toxic masculinity, I would say, well, it's a woman in her like masculine. That's toxic because it's not sustainable and it breeds like all of the things that you kind of, we said, I don't know if it was off cam or when you guys were talking about it, but like all of those things, so there's angry women that you were talking about.
All those traits, yeah.
It's like, that's when it becomes toxic. Whereas like men in their true masculinity, yeah, it might be a little bit more like than we are used to. And at first glance, you might be like, oh, that's toxic because we're programmed to believe like expressing or like, you know, I don't know, going out and hunting, like, you know, it's toxic.
Yeah.
That's not toxic. That's biology. And like, that's perfect. But I believe that, yeah, more often than not, the toxicity of masculinity lives in the woman archetype in this day and age.
Mm. That will bring me to my first point. Do you want to say anything before I pull this up?
No, I love that. Keep going. You want to clear your fucking throat out?
It's the coffee, bro. It does it every time. It drives me out. I'm sorry.
Oh, it drives you out.
It drives me out.
You're not going to shit or anything, are you? I've heard that about coffee drinkers.
I hope so.
Heard that about coffee drinkers. Oh, I don't drink coffee.
Flex. Okay, so this, my first point that I wrote down, and this is how I want to make a point here, that I am not educated one bit in relationship. I've made just as many mistakes as anyone else. I'm not educated in femininity or anything. I'm a barber. I cut men's hair. I have done for a long time, and that is it. All I'm going off is things that I've heard.
Your own experiences.
That's it. Mm. Okay. But
which you're entitled to.
One point that I wanted to make was something I see a lot of, and too much of is men quite literally scared of their woman.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
They're scared of them. They're scared of what they're going to say. They're scared of how they're going to react.
Scared of the confrontation.
They're scared of they see women's emotions and how they do this all the time and as terrifying. Of who am I going to get today? What version am I going to get? What am I going to say this morning?
I've been called out.
What am I going to say this morning that's just going to flick it? And yeah. now my day is crap because yeah. I've said this one thing. So what it kind of does is it pushes men just to shut up. So we just don't say anything. We just kind of go, we kind of test the room and then like, hello, honey, you know, and wait for a response. And then we gauge on the response of how to, it's, but anyway, the initial point is guys being scared of their missus. How do we stop that? And why does that happen?
Fuck, there's so much to unpack there. Because it's also like, it's also a compatibility thing. Like I've seen so many relationships that they're situationships. Have you heard of the situations?
Yeah, yeah.
When it's just like
so out of the dating.
Yeah, world. I know. When yeah. it's just like, oh, it's just good, so it works.
Mm.
You know, that's part of it too. If you, I've seen so many relationships that are just like they fucking despise each other.
Yeah,
like they fucking despise it. They talk shit about each other yeah. behind each other's backs. Like, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you using?
Yeah.
Do you even like each other? Like,
that's, yeah. I feel like that's just like, that's almost a different thing. Like, it's,
yeah.
it's like when you're either your self worth or you've got insecurities that you're like, I'm unhappy, but this is the best I've got, or you just don't have the.
Okay, hold on. We're going off.
Yeah, sorry. Let's go.
I just want to, the reason I want to answer this is because I see it a lot. And if anyone's watching,
yeah, why is that?
If anyone's watching this that has got that going on at home, and they are scared of their missus.
Yeah.
Or have they? What can we do now in order to?
Have they used the term "happy wife, happy life"?
Oh, if you use that term, get it the fuck out of your vocabulary. Never okay. use it again.
I have something to say here.
Okay.
So, in my opinion, like again, it's similar to like how women have been brought up and programmed that this is the way it should be, and we're told that we want to be independent women, whatever. In a similar sense, like men have been programmed happy wife, happy life. And I think initial discomfort of like standing up to your woman is a real thing. Like the first time, if you're in a relationship for 6 years, 2 years, 1 year, 6 months, whatever, you're in this like reality where if you do stand up to her, you will cop it. You are in the doghouse. Like these things will happen. However, from a woman's perspective, I promise you, in the long run, it will serve you. Like the woman is saying, I want it to go my way, but I promise you, I'm the one like talking to her in the bathroom, like at the nightclub where she's just exhausted by making all the decisions. She's exhausted because you're not stepping up. And it's not your fault because you're in the loop where exactly what you've said.
Will you test your man a little bit?
It's feminine to test.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man.
It's not a bad thing.
100%.
But will you test to see if he has that backbone, if he's going to stand up to you?
Not consciously.
Do you like the feeling of being checked?
Not consciously, but definitely upon reflection. And this, I've said this like to him. I've been like, you just passed that. We actually have an inside joke. A plus for you. Thank you, King. Seriously. I don't do it deliberately.
Right.
Love that.
Great. That was the perfect answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the honest answer.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is, and I'm sure plenty of women will back that.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Because I do hear that a lot. I do hear women will put up, they'll test them a little bit. Sometimes not even consciously, like subconsciously, they'll just be a bit of a bitch one day and then just wait for you to turn around and say,
oi.
Hey, we don't talk to each other like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Like, relax.
On a deeper level though, it's a safety check. And I've done a lot of reading on this topic and it's like, okay, am I safe here? Like, does he have me? It's actually, you know, you're just like, you're asking, you're testing. And I know that I'm testing. I know that I've just tested, not because I set out to do it, but because of the relief that comes after I get his response.
Mm.
Like, oh,
I feel so,
didn't see that one coming. Thank God he did that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting.
I love that.
Yeah.
But then how can guys get out of that mentality of happy wife, happy life? How do we?
So let's say, let's give a scenario. Let's say, let's say David's been with his woman for 5 years, and he's realizing now at they're at a point where his woman is so in control, and he's so submissive now, because over the years he's just kind of happy life, happy wifed it, and now he's at a point where this relationship is cactus unless, you know, we start to change some things. If he was to just one day after 5 years now go, you know what, I'm the man of the house, I'm going to say this, you'd be like, fuck okay. off, David. Like,
sit down, David.
Yeah.
Go to relax. So,
but would it take, this is the question, and this is a big one. Would it take for him to walk in the room, sit you down and say, hey, this is where the relationship's at, I'm leaving.
Oh.
I'm leaving. Or, you know, or will it take for him to leave? To go, that's it, we're over, we're done, walk out. And then for the woman to then go, fuck. Like,
nah.
Do we have nah. to? Wouldn't take that?
Nah.
What would it take? Like, how okay. would you put steps in place from then to?
Let's look at what masculinity, like true masculinity is, and like literally Google like masculine traits. Like, and then when you go to have this conversation, when David goes in, he needs to embody those traits. So like a masculine trait is to provide security and stability. Him walking out is doing the opposite of that.
Is it right?
So what I would suggest to do is to understand, like, you need to, and I mean, men are good at this, but like be less emotional, which he'd probably now go, David. But if he goes in and he's just like, okay, so this is what I'm noticing. I can't be the man for you. Like, and again, the woman is in there like receiving. I want you to be able to receive XYZ from me. That's the kind of man I want to be. What I'm noticing is that I can't step up to do that with this like contradiction of whatever's going on. You probably need an example. And for example, it might be like a classic would be I want to be able to like take you to dinner and surprise you or treat you. But because you have like a chokehold over the decisions of where we go, because of your dietaries, because of your preference, because you like the outdoor courtyard areas, it actually gets in the way of my ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I don't want you to get exactly what you want. I'm saying I want you to be able to receive everything that I'm trying to give you, mm-hmm. and I'm unable to do that. And using an example of where that lies. And then it's just going to have to be him saying, what I'd like to do is you allow me, like start small. If it's a 5-year relationship, you to allow me to completely choose the thing once a week, once a month, whatever you can commit to, and then notice how you feel.
Mm.
And I think putting it like that, so it's not like, my manhood's fucked, you stupid woman. I'm going to walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like, I want you to receive, so I'm going to allow you to receive in this conversation. Mm. I'm going to allow you to feel me have you. Let's move forward.
Yeah, because we spoke about that yesterday, didn't we?
The dinner thing.
Yeah, on like, yeah. Hey, you know, I've organized dinner. Like, you know, and then instead of there being like, oh, where are we going?
Yeah.
Oh, well, do they have this? Italian. Or I actually kind of felt like that. Yeah. It's like, hey, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Second point.
New host.
Yeah, I love
I'm
this.
Sorry.
New
I'm
host
sorry.
Who this?
I'm
sorry. We talked about yesterday. He's like, I've got a few things to ask Sophie. I was like, go for it.
Okay. So, her name escapes me, the woman that, she's a psychologist, really big on TikTok and stuff. I showed you her video.
Yeah, I don't know her name. Yeah, I don't know her name.
Anyway, just backstory.
I think she's Sri Lankan.
She's educated.
Yeah, very educated. Guys,
she's educated. Unlike us.
So, I just wanted to go back to our initial episode. I said in our episode that women want an alpha male that they can control. Now, listening that back, that sounded like a very kind of direct, it almost in my eyes looked like an insult to women, which I just wanted to cover that that's not what I meant one bit. This quote from this woman will explain what I mean about that. I wrote it down really
neatly
in the dark last night. So she said, I quote, when you have a man you can control, what happens is you end up raising him. He activates your maternal instinct rather than your sexual instinct. So you end up having to raise him, having to check if he's there, and so on and so forth. He brings a burden to your life, and therefore you start to glorify singlehood. Whereas when you're with a man that you can't or don't control, he actually helps control you. The beauty in the relationship flourishes. And then she says, a woman with men that maintain leadership, they seem to remain respectful to him. Whereas other way around, if they can actually control him, in the long run, they start to speak about him negatively to their friends. They start to disrespect him, and they start to be, and they don't want to, the women don't want to be like that, but they're pushed to be like that. And then they end up not liking who they are because they're being nasty to their man.
100%.
You know what, I won't say any names, but there's so many friends that are girls, women, and they will go, oh, my boyfriend, well, so-and-so, he doesn't do any of the fucking washing, he doesn't do any of the cleaning, and then they'll go to Jordan, and he goes, but that's normal, though, like, Elliot does all that stuff, and I'll be there, and I'll go, I fucking do my cleaning, I fucking cook, I do the fucking washing, like, don't drag me into this. This is a you issue. Mm. And they're like, oh, mate, have you talked to them about it? No, but they're old enough to know that the washing goes into the laundry basket, the laundry goes into the washing machine, the clothes get hung up, the dishes gets done. But you haven't spoken to them about it. No, so who does it all then? She goes, oh, I just end up doing it. Well, how does he know then?
Yeah, how does he know? Yeah. But yeah. I mean, in reflection to that, like, I think we still, like, as men, we still need to be aware that, we can't look at, there's a big difference between nurturing and mothering.
Mm.
And the, when a man starts to feel like his woman is mothering him, it's actually a turn off. So, like, things like, oh, you know, I better do that washing for you. Things like, and then they go and do it. It's like, well, I'm capable. Like, I can do it. Like, that's a very motherly kind of thing. Rather than, hey, sweetheart, I know you've had a busy day. I sorted out all our washing. I did our dishes, blah, blah, blah. It's like, now you've gone from mothering someone to then being a nurturing role in the household, nurturing in the relationship, which is hugely attractive. Like, you didn't degrade me, you didn't make me feel like I'm capable of doing my own washing. You didn't do any of that. You've just nurtured the room.
Yeah, well, I'll do the cooking at night.
I'll do the cooking at night
and I'll start cleaning up, and Jordan will say, get the fuck out of the kitchen. And I go, what? Yeah. She goes, no, I'm cleaning up.
Yeah,
you cooked, I'll clean up all the dishes, you get out of the kitchen. And I'm like,
but you know, I'm saying this in a role where, like, the man is paying for the household.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Solely.
This is what I wanted to talk about as
well. Yeah, yeah. This isn't like a fair thing.
Mm.
Like, if I'm a big believer in everybody needs to be pulling their weight if the whole house is equal. So if you're renting with your partner or whatever and you're both paying the same each week, everything is, you need to be pulling your weight just as much. Whereas if you're going to work and you're sacrificing having fun with your mates most of the time, if you're sacrificing a month-long holiday with all your boys on a surf trip to wherever every year so that you can pay for this household for her to live in.
Now you've earned...
This has got to a point...
As blunt as that is.
Well, yeah, I get that.
Because now she can go on a two-week trip with her friends. She doesn't pay any rent.
Yeah.
You've come to the party.
And this is the thing, though. The nuance of this conversation is, like, because there's a huge trend right now online of, like, trad wife. Have you seen that going around?
No, what is it?
It's traditional wife, short for traditional wife.
Okay.
So it's like...
I thought you said Chad.
No, I thought you said Chad too.
No.
Chad's wife.
Trad. I know what a trad wife is.
Chad's wife? Yeah. No, so it's like trad wife.
Yeah, trad.
And essentially, it's like this big trending thing in my algorithm where you are the stay-at-home mom. You are, like, you know, baking sourdough from scratch. You were washing, like, you're doing God's work as a woman. And I'm, like, somewhat semi-attracted to that lifestyle, but I don't know if it's just because it's completely different to the lifestyle I have. But anyway, like, I think there is a conversation to be had for, like, maybe back in the day and how things used to run was, like, a more, you know, coherent way to run based on the masculine and feminine roles and things like that. But one important factor of that dynamic is that it was the man bringing in the money. And, like, he was genuinely providing for the family. Whereas, like, we do have, I think, in this day and age, like, men who want this trad wife dynamic where she does all the washing, but, you know, is working at UE and she's out also doing her thing, like, full time. And didn't mean to be disrespectful to UE workers, but, you know, like, as in he's working, she's working just as much. And she's also doing all of the at-home stuff. And that's where it's like, of course resentment's going to be built because she's not feeling provided for. She's not receiving fuck all. And the dynamic is off. She's not only working for the family, but she's providing for the family in that role.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as much as I agree with – and, like, and honestly, the way you were just speaking about it is so – true, because what you pointed out is language, like the way you actually communicate to one another, like all that changed in your scenario then was, I've done our washing for you, thank you so much for being out and work all day. And that is just allowing the roles to exist how they are. And I would recommend to everyone in a relationship, out of a relationship, if you've got the opposite sex in your life, to go and read a book called — my friends listening to this will laugh because I literally, anyone, I'm like, you should go read this book. It's like, no one, Sophie, go read Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Oh, I've heard this. Yeah, yeah.
By John Gray. Mm. And that book, have you read it?
No.
You would back it. And it's essentially like, you know, speaking about how you can have communication synergy in a relationship to allow the man to feel like he is providing and the woman to feel like she is being heard and held. And it's like, there you go. There's your answer.
So are they the different values that men and women have? Men want to feel like they're provided for, their
women. You
know, women.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So the premise of the book is that men are — we're from different planets. So if I say to you, hey — or if we're in a relationship and I said, oh, you didn't do the washing up, you're hearing, I'm not providing for you. That's — you're gonna get into your defense mode, like, you're going to be like, oh, back up against, oh, fuck, I'm sorry, and spiral out about it on a small scale, obviously. And the more intense that dynamic is, or the more important the role or the job that hasn't been done, the more intense the reaction. But, like, whereas, like, and similar for women, what men want to do is solve a problem. So, and you've talked about this, we've talked about how you and — I think you've said it on a podcast as well — about how you and Jordan worked out, like, that she just wants you to listen. That's what the book talks about as well. So women — I'll come home, like, from work and I'll be like, you know, the camera broke today, like all this stuff. And, like, my partner might be like, well, let's go pick one up tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm not done. I don't need your solution bullshit up in here. I actually just want to vent. And, you know, and that's — and it basically allows people — us to understand each other. So then, you know, and then I can ask for when I want the solution and or just want to be heard.
And that's the thing that Leffa said on his podcast, was like, is this a problem you want me to solve, or is this a problem you want me to listen to?
Exactly.
And then he goes, 90% of the time it's a listen to one.
Yeah.
And most 100%. People in healthy relationships, whether they've read the book or not, are embodying the principles of the book from my experience.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a great
reco.
Yeah. And Way of the Superior Man. That's a really good book.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Put that one out there.
Yeah.
It's a really good one.
Care to share anything, Elliot? Are you still here?
Wait, this is what I want
to — I've got my favourite books, but I don't relate to any of this.
Yeah. Like, have you read Hunger Games? Yeah. That is a banger.
Deathly Hallows Part 2. That was a good one.
Are you ready to fire this up?
Oh, what is it?
Here we go.
You ready to fire it up?
Yeah.
Toxic Positivity.
Let's go.
Okay.
What do you have to say?
Go.
Let's let it rip.
Go, yeah. Let it rip.
Okay. Girls, check your friends. You got to check your friends. What were you saying yesterday? It's like...
I won't tell you who it is.
No. You don't have to say who it is. But
I've noticed with girls, there's so much — I call it toxic positivity — when there's this, like, no matter what that person or that friend is doing, it could be doing the worst thing, the friends are always like, it's okay, it's not that bad, it's not cheating, it was just a kiss.
Oh, like, okay.
That sort of thing. And I remember saying to a girl, I was like, I fucking hate your positivity. She was like, really? I'm like, it's too much. Like, have a laugh, have a joke, get into her. Like, she's done something, like, silly. Just go, hey, you didn't – look what you did. But it's just like, no, she's all right. It was – she didn't – and I'm like, fuck's sake.
It's like this constant sympathy. Yeah. It's like this
– reassuring.
Let me tell you something. Okay, let me tell you something. The amount of times that I have seen this is unbelievable. Women will tell you if a girl's going to be a bitch straight off by the way they look.
The hot girls are bitchy?
Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
All the hot girls are bitchy. Oh, you know, this chick, you know, look at them over there. It's you know, sitting there with their perfection bodies, and it's like, no, those bitches, I'm going to avoid them.
Well, is it a thing that you've grown up with comparing because you've got to find a mate?
Oh, that's a good question, but I mean, I've been a victim of being compared to by men actively. I remember being in grade, like, I think it was a grade 9, and I was at a gather, and these three boys came up and was just like 8, 9, 7, 10. Like, just rated us. And I was like,
fuck.
Fuck you, dude.
Really?
Yeah. So let's just put that out there. Yeah, the comparison definitely comes from.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So we're getting to the bottom of this.
Well, maybe.
Is this a real thing?
A real experience that happened to me. And so that's, you know, that's happened. However, I think that maybe you're right. Like, this survival of the fittest is like, I want to be the one who's chosen. For sure, from the man, could be what's going on.
Because I listened to a podcast about that, and it was like, what's the deep-seated issue with, like, women constantly comparing with each other?
Yeah.
And the psychologists were saying it goes back to finding a mate. Like, you've got to be better than this one because you've got to find a mate. And they might choose them over you, and then, like, how do you...
That feels right.
But I don't. But that's fine. But then where does the dislike come in? That's what I don't understand. It's probably
from experience. Probably from past experiences where the hot girls are getting all the attention. They don't need to be nice to you because they have nothing to gain socially from being nice to you. And so therefore, past experiences, that person who's saying that's probably like the last 80 parties I've been to where the hottest girl's getting all the attention and she's got her best mate next to her, she is bitchy. You know, there's the part where she is bitchy because she's cold, because she's got nothing to gain from being nice to you. Whereas someone who is maybe not the 7 of the group, God forbid, needs to make a little bit more effort to be liked in a situation, because the hotter you are, the easier you are liked. And so maybe happening. However, yeah, I think it's a bit unfair. I will be honest and say that.
Yeah. I think...
you feel like women are more competitive with each other than...
I think so. Because I'm just the sort of dude where it wouldn't matter what a guy looked like. You know, I'm like, sup, dude? What's happening? You know?
Yeah. Well, same though. Same.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at someone more attractive than me and be like, bitch.
Yeah, right.
So I think there's a part where it's like, well, I think the more insecure you are, the more...
You're going to project that onto everyone else. Right. Yeah.
So that's what I was kind of leaning towards. Is it comes down, it's not actually male or female. It comes down to the level of insecurity.
And, you know, and it's the same thing. Like, women I know would look at the most attractive guy in the room and be like, fuck boy.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's not necessarily just women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it so much.
Oh, fuck off. Please.
Straight up.
Yeah.
I've experienced we're running out of time, but I've experienced situations where all the girls know each other, and they bring their boyfriends, all of us, that we don't know each other, to say a party or a camping thing, right? And all the girls know each other. They're all friends, right? And 2 days in, all the girls are fighting. All the guys that don't know each other.
Our best mates.
Yeah. And we're all like, dude. And we go back and there's someone calling each other a bitch and stuff like that. And we're all just like, how does that happen?
Yeah. And we'll do it all to our... It's so funny, the roles reverse. It's like with guys, like, we'll be like, what's going on, you fucking, you big-headed dog? Like, good to see you, brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we'll have those face-to-face.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, we'll call you a piece of shit. And
yeah.
Butchie, you're such a dickhead, yeah, man. Like, fuck, you're an idiot. And then yeah, when he walks away, we're like, fuck, I love you, man.
Yeah.
You know? You girls know, are like, you know, oh, my God, I love you so much. You're
but
the
when
best.
They, but when
and
they walk away,
they're like, fuck, bitch. Fucking said that thing before. She said, you know, that yeah, my jeans were cut too messy. Fucking bitch. Like,
I've had so many conversations. I had one the other day and it was like this girl that goes to Revel, and she was like, this girl looked at me the wrong way and I think she was judging me. And I was like, from a look? How do you know that she probably in her head wasn't going, fuck, she's a weapon?
Because she knows.
She, yeah. And I'm like, what, why do you always take it the wrong way? Why do you always like take it that's like, if a girl looks at you a certain way, this would be great. Why do you take it as a threat all the time?
Mm.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I don't actually feel that threatened.
Yeah.
I don't actually feel that threatened in most situations, but I definitely have, you know, in the younger years felt that. Well, I didn't really, but I've had friends that really feel that. And honestly, what I believe it comes down to is like insecurity within. If you're criticizing yourself, you believe everyone is criticizing you too. And unfortunately, and for the people who feel criticized and judged, the biggest piece of advice I'd say is like, stop judging others and that will leave, because you're obviously judging people. So you believe that everyone is judging you, but the people who they're probably not, the more secure you are, the less you're judging others,
yeah,
and the less you're judging yourself. And it can be a vicious cycle, or it can be the most freeing thing to like dismiss that. And it's easier said than done, obviously. But I remember, yeah, when I felt like I was really comparing in a very comparative cycle in high school, I remember thinking like, everything I think about myself, I'm thinking of others. Like, the first thing, I was insecure about my stomach. The first thing I noticed on any woman, their stomach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's just like, when you realize that, you're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to free myself of that. And suddenly I'm not as caught up. I do want to talk about the whole toxic positivity with the obesity thing a little bit as well. I think like what I think is a valued point of view within that is, I believe that every single person are worthy of love, are worthy of shelter, are worthy of, you know, genuine like hormone balance that makes them operate in a really optimal state and relatively healthy. And I think where people come from in the building up is the people commenting being like, yes, queen, goddess, whatever, have obviously felt in their life criticized for the way they look, and they're trying to counteract that. So again, I have compassion for those people. I really have compassion for those people who are lifting them up, but I don't think that they are aware of how damaging that is, because at the end of the day, if we love someone, we want them to be healthy, and we want to be celebrating people to be making moves towards that, as opposed to eating like, and I don't know what these people eat, I don't know what we're referring to, but like, say they are eating donuts and KFC every week and they're actually diminishing their health. Those comments, they're just getting external validation and not bettering themselves. Like, it's a damaging cycle. And I do believe that I'm not a fan of it at all. But I just, again, like, I just feel like the individuals who are engaging in this, they're not doing it because they're like consciously being like, I look better next to you, or like, this is all like subconscious patterning based off their experience of what they've grown up with. And yeah, I think it should stop. But do I think attacking the individual doing it is the answer? No. I think it's a zoomed out view of how can we be better as a culture to not have these programmings happening where we're just contributing to these damaging cycles.
For sure. You can still have all the empathy.
Yeah.
You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to be, you know, too direct. Like, you can have all the empathy but still suggest, you know, better choices or whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, it's not...
Totally.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You can't take all of these comments and box them into this category of person.
Yeah.
Like you said, like, these people could have experienced the same thing or be experiencing the same thing. They know how it feels and they know how horrible it feels, so they just want to add like a little bit of support to it or something, you know?
And also, you know, as men, I've had a lot of conversations with men about this, because one of the things that we are programmed with in this life is like, you know, women's value is outwardly placed on what we look like. So naturally we are going to be like exactly probably because we're about the whole like attracting a mate thing. It's a survival instinctual reaction, but we've grown up with this. So naturally we're going to be like, okay, it matters whether I'm hot or not. It matters whether I'm like, you know, we're literally looking around the room of like, you know, and boys do it too. They're like, look around the room. I could probably take him in a fight. Like you're just doing this calculating. You're not actually going to fight the guy. Mm. And similar for women. It's just like, how, where do I rank here? Because of that. Yeah, and, but it's like,
very true.
Yeah. And like men have the same thing except in status and often to do with money. So like, I just think, yeah, it's a real thing. It's a real thing, but.
You can never tell if we could beat another man in a fight.
Yeah.
Well, I don't reckon.
What do you mean? I could definitely tell.
Oh, who would win here?
Oh, I'd win here for sure.
I've got a glass jaw.
Do you?
I told Jordan that. I was like, listen, anything happens.
Don't touch the face.
Don't touch the face.
Put Jordan in front. Like, sorry, I'm a podcaster.
But when you do competitive sport, like competitive sports and stuff, you just learn pretty quick that you can't judge.
No, you like can't judge.
You'll have guys that are very small that will lay you out. Lay you out.
Humble you.
You know, I just wanted to touch on, just wanted to clear this up. The non-equal payment in women's sports. Okay, I think this is a great topic, man. Well, okay, because it's very straightforward. And I just feel like I just want to clear this up for women that are out there. Screaming and shouting because these women need to be paid the same as the men in football. They do such a great job. They train just as hard, blah, blah, blah. Yes, they do. I am with you, Queen. Thing is, where do you think money's coming from?
Okay? Exactly.
That's the huge thing. Let's talk about, I don't know, the NRL, you know, rugby league. All these guys are getting paid really well because the NRL is bringing in X amount of money. They have the money to pay the players. Now, where does that money come from? That money comes from merch, tickets, sold out games, blah, blah, blah. Basically, yourself, the fans, representing your club. If it seems to be, if I ask or if someone was to ask these women, you know, name one player from the Jillaroos.
Go Queen.
Can you name one?
No.
Right. So because
we don't watch it.
We don't care. Right. And which is fine. It's not your thing. This is why they're not getting paid. This is why it's happening. You know, how many women have you seen with their favorite player from the Jillaroos jersey on down the street? How many guys have you seen wearing a Kobe Bryant singlet? Every second one. Right. How many? You know, houses do you go to with your mates and they've got all their favourite teams' merch on the walls.
Yeah.
You know, they love it. They've got, one of my mates has Melbourne Storm Eskies. He could have got any Esky.
Well, this is a Sydney Roosters Esky that we made him.
Right. Okay, but this is my point. The point is, you know, if you want, it's easy to preach it from the sideline, but if you really want it, start going to games.
Go to the sideline.
Right. Quite literally go there and support. And I would love nothing more than to see like just an army of women rocking up to a, you know, a woman's in a rugby league game.
All men.
In the crowd. Yeah, all men. Yeah. But it'd just be great to see all the women in the crowd, you know.
Getting around it.
Throwing beers in the air and like, yeah, you know. Well, I just think it'd be so cool.
Getting
like,
around the game as much as they protest around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Getting around the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, if you're going to buy cool hats or something, buy, I don't know, Jillaroo's hats.
Well,
or
I saw something. It was like, because you know how there's all the tennis grand slams now, the females get paid the same as the males. I think it changed a few years ago. And Nadal came out and was just like, well, why the fuck? Like, we play a five-setter. Girls play a three-setter. And they get paid the same. And he's just like, well, where's all the male models coming out saying the women get paid more than men?
I was going to say that.
You know, there's professions where women get paid more than men.
Of course there is. Well, they look better, right? The girls on the model runs, they look better. They, you know, in most cases.
Yeah, well, I think, I was going to say the model thing. I think where the money is coming to pay for the sport is everything. So it's like, and you know, a lot of the, I think in the AFL, they're going into debt over putting the money into the women's club, to the women's game. So it's just like, you know, they're just bowing down to this like outbreak of anger about
inclusivity. Yeah.
But we're going to lose the sport. I'm like, that's upsetting.
You know, the other thing too is look at, you know, there is some huge women brands that could be sponsoring these teams. Mm. You know, Lorna Jane, was it Makeup.
Yeah.
You know, these are huge.
Waterproof mascara.
You know, these are huge lines. Like, how they are not, you ask yourself the question, the reason they're not support, sponsoring and stuff is because
they lose money.
There's not enough people going, and there's not enough attention for them for it to be worth it. Like, this is, you know, you have it all there. The second you decide and put it all together, that the women's sports will skyrocket in numbers when you all make a collective decision.
A topic that I do want to touch on with while Sophie's here is obviously the domestic violence. That's, it sounds silly that it's trending.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that it has to be a well-publicized event like the one at Bondi for it to get traction again. And it goes in waves. It's like something fucking shit happens and it's all over social media, and then sort of a month from now, you won't hear about it again. Yet the stats aren't changing. It's happening every single day. Yet it goes in like trending waves where everyone like talks about it, and then they fucking drop off about it, and something happens like that. And I watched a video that Carrie and Tommy did, their two radio presenters, and she read out a statement of what it means to her, and like even the simple things in life that women have to think about in terms of their safety. Like, she said something along the lines of like, when she goes for runs, what do you think about, Tommy, when you go for runs? And he was like, oh, my split times. And he was like, she was like, what's your split times? Like, oh, how fast I get to a K and it compared to the next K and stuff like that. And then she goes, well, I have to think about what time of day, who I'm running with, the route that I'm taking. Is there suitable light? I have to think about like who's looking at me. Is someone following me? Is there a car next to me? Am I out in public enough? Like, if I go down the street, like, is that a smart decision? Like, all these things are like running through her head in terms of her safety around men. What's your point of view on that? What's your experiences with that?
The exact same.
The exact same.
Yeah. Like, yeah, definitely. Like, I'm definitely. And this is another thing. Like, women are like in their survival mode more than they should be. And like, if we were in a society where the men were the protectors, like genuinely there was less. And I think this is a hugely to do with the media as well. Like, because I'm like, are we as unsafe as we feel? I don't know. Maybe not. Like, however, like, it feels unsafe a lot of the time. Like, if it's nighttime and if it's like, I'm locking up an on track and it's nighttime and I'm going to the car, I'm like, okay, be on the phone, you know, all these things. It's like, really? Be on the phone, have keys here. If they come at me, the key is here so I can stab them there, you know. And it's like, it's a real thing for sure. So, yeah.
Well, basically, it's sickening that it even happens, like in the first place, male or female. Like, it's no, I don't think anyone should have to, you know, think that deeply into what they do. And I don't have much to say on the topic, but
there is severe actual problem with the world. And the problem, like, I think we talked about off camera, or maybe you said it actually on the other podcast about Andrew Tate, is that sometimes like those clips can be fed to the wrong person and like given them the ammo they need to just be like, woman, you're a slut, you can take it, you know. And it's like, there's evil in the world. There is real evil in the world.
Especially when young boys, and I think the rate of divorces are going through the roof as the years go on. I think young boys are growing up without a father figure, without a role model or a mentor, someone to look up to. And they're on their phones more than they're not on their phones now. Like, parents, I talk to parents all the time and they're like, well, we have to battle them going to school for 8 hours and the kids that they hang around with at school. And then when they're at home, the boys are on their phones. So they're looking towards a role model, someone to look up to, someone to see value from. And that's when it comes into like, they're not old enough to recognize, like, when Andrew Tate's talking about getting money and getting bitches, they look at that and go, oh, well, that he's hyper accessible. Like, he's all over social media. That's who we got to be. And there's like that movement at the moment, which is silly that it's a movement, but like the rape culture. And I'm thinking, like, fuck, I was so naive thinking about like these things happen in like, you know, cities where there's large millions of people. When my mate was telling me about this situation happening at a venue on the Sunshine Coast, and he's like, yeah, this isn't something that happens one off. This is something that is happening almost every weekend. A girl is getting sexually abused or getting raped every weekend out in public by groups of men, not just a one creep who's, you know, had a fucked up life and he's, you know, messed up in the head. These are boys in groups going around planning, like, how do we...
Yeah, see, I really struggle with comprehending that. I'd really struggle with it. I don't... It's a game. To me, it's like, there has to be something wrong. There has to be... These guys must... There must be mental illness. There must be something... Because I physically can't, yeah, I just can't comprehend it. I can't comprehend even the, it's just sickening. Like, how is there any enjoyment in it? I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist. I don't know. But yeah, that's why I struggle to get my head around it. But yeah. The fact that you know, I mean.
What I found it out is it's a men's problem that women are trying to find the solution to, when really women shouldn't have to fucking find the solution for a men's problem.
What I would like to say as well, to bring it back to kind of the top of this episode, is that, you know, women are angry, like, and you've seen that, like, we've seen the staunch feminists, and you know, we can laugh about, like, you're crazy and whatever. But I think it's because, like, they might be jumping on Andrew Tate because they need a fucking vehicle to express all this suppressed anger, because they've heard about the friend of theirs that have been raped. They may have been sexually assaulted themselves. Maybe they've just been actively offended. Like, there's so much that they have carried and haven't spoken. And as someone who has been raped myself, I now know what it's actually like to carry that and feel the shame of. And I would have never expected, as I said on the other episode we've done together, I would never expect that the woman actually carries shame about it. I used to be like, why would you feel bad? Like, you've been attacked. Like, however, having gone through that, it's like, oh my God, like, you realize how much internalized shame you have. The women who were watching Andrew Tate and getting upset and angry are probably doing so because they're like angry. And they're just like, I need to react right now. And yeah. But unfortunately, and for those women, and this is why, again, like, I've been there, but you're not angry at Andrew Tate. You probably want exactly what he is preaching too. Like, you probably want protection to be provided for and to feel respected in a relationship. And like, but until you kind of like welcome that in, allow, let go, release control of needing to decide dinner, like whatever it looks like to you, release control of being in your masculine, you're not going to be able to feel held and be able to be put in your feminine, which is actually what will make you feel better. And I know you don't believe that right now. You think you want control. You don't. You want to be looked after, in my opinion.
Love that.
Great point.